The Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. And as he sat to dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And while Jesus was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay a hand upon her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making the commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We all handle change a little differently. I remember the first time that I was aware of the world changing around me. Do you all remember when DVDs became a thing? They began to creep up in popularity in the late 1990s. And in the late 1990s, I wasn't much older than Maeve. I was probably 9 or 10 when I became aware of this new DVD thing. And what I remember most about it was my profound level of affront on behalf of VHS. I was a one-child campaign against the uselessness, ridiculousness, and unnecessary advancement of DVDs when VHS was perfectly fine. Just progress for the sake of progress at this point. I say this because sometimes I think my haircut, my tattoos, whatever, give people the wrong impression about me. In many ways, I'm very much the same inflexible person I was at 8 or 9. I never accept something until that thing is now the most recently obsolete thing. And to this day, I refuse to subscribe to streaming services, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Apple, Hulu, whatever. Rentals may be a thing of the past, but I wait patiently for these movies and shows to get into the library circulation. And I will be ready to talk about your favorite hot new show in a year or two. Just be patient. My inflexible personality aside, even just in our lifetimes, the accelerated rate of technological, structural, and social change has been unfathomable. Never mind the dramatic arc we've experienced since March 2020. Much less the day-to-day changes we experience in our personal lives. Societally, we are unquestionably simultaneously disconnected and overconnected, at once overwhelmed and compulsively checking our phones for more information through apps, social media, entertainment. We are overloaded, suffering from stress and disorientation. Generational and partisan divides are exacerbated, miscommunication is rampant, and the lack of generosity of spirit feels substantial. Whether you are a flexible or inflexible person, we've all encountered the struggle with the steep curve of change. the heartache of relationship that needs healing, the yearning for the ways that things were, or at least the ways that we remember them being, our anxiety and helplessness about an increasingly fraught planetary future. All of these things can pull us from the present moment. For all the little normal changes we absorb and move through day to day, the overall toll of rapid change can feel existentially insurmountable. This is not limited to the secular world, of course, but absolutely includes the past, present, and future of the church. Good thing the church has a reputation for embracing change, right? Okay, yes, I'm teasing. But in fact, I'm taking the time to acknowledge the soup we're swimming in because of something Jesus says in our gospel text today. Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." Today's gospel from Matthew includes sign of the radical shift that Jesus represents, the coming reign of God that turns everything on its axis. The Pharisees are baffled that Jesus is reclining to dine ritually with what we would say in modern lingo, problematic people. Tax or toll collectors were viewed favorably by almost no one, whether they were collecting for Rome or for the temple. Sinners here seems to refer to a catch-all for those who were seen to violate familial or societal welfare. Sometimes we're prone to imagine the Pharisees are being unreasonable in their question here, but they're probably not. We could all conjure people to our own minds who we would object to seeing in sacred or communal ritual with someone that we expect to be a model of respectable behavior or an exemplar of faith, people about whom we would ask, "Excuse me, what's going on here?" Jesus hears this question and responds, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He is quoting Hosea, of course, which our lectionary kindly provided for our hearing this morning. Hosea, a prophet of old, urged the people to repentance. We read, "Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." The Hebrew word behind steadfast love here is chesed, the same word translated loving kindness in Micah 6:8. "What does the Lord require of you, O mortal?" We know that one. In the context of Hosea, this is palpably contrasted with that love of Judah and Ephraim, which, like the dew, disappears in the heat of the day. Steadfast love, loving kindness, is the covenantal love displayed to us by God, the love of God for God's people, which is steady and always present. It is this faithful love that God desires, a love born of knowledge of God, a love that, faced with the heat of day, does not dissipate. Neither Hosea nor Jesus is suggesting that sacrifice or burnt offerings are wrong, bad, need to be done away with. And neither, necessarily, do our forms of practice, of ritual, of piety that supports and empowers our reverence for the sacred, our connection with God, our worship. These are still good and beautiful things. But we must not confuse those things with God's desire. We are called to go and learn that one of our most beautiful inheritances of faith is that these are means, not the end. What God desires is loving kindness, mercy, our relationship with God. Insofar as sacrifice and burnt offerings are means for this end, good. insofar as they are not available to us as practices or do not function as God desires, then they are less useful, and that's okay. Jesus says, go and learn what this means. And the Pharisees and we would be good and well to do so. The changes that we have faced will not stop coming. The goalposts have always moved. They will continue to move. And if we're being honest, they're not going to slow down. Not everyone has inherited the means of methods of faith that we have. Not everyone can perform these things in the way that we would expect or want. Sometimes we find ourselves cut off from what we knew before and in spaces in which new things like the heat of the day threaten to overwhelm us and our love. But instead of grasping, panicking, questioning, going on a campaign to save VHS, we are reminded that what God desires is actually possible in all moments and in any future. Loving kindness, mercy, and relationship with God are possible in all moments, with or without the resources, without our favorite practices, without familiar goalposts. The reign of God comes to us in the midst of an earthquake, literal and metaphorical. It comes to us in the midst of our future shock, our information overload, sometimes even in the midst of shattering stress, disorientation, and loneliness. Go and learn what this means is not, I think, issued to the Pharisees or to us as a scriptural or intellectual challenge. It is an experimental, experiential invitation, perhaps exhortation. I can claim from this pulpit this morning that the good news is that God desires loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, that these things are possible with or without the things that are so fragile and transient about the way we negotiate our world. I could further plant the seed that while we find ourselves prone to be overwhelmed by revolutions outside of our control, Jesus is the one unsettling the world in this story, not the one unsettled. Like Jesus and his tax collectors and sinners at the table, perhaps we as the body of Christ are called to be the revolution that transforms the world. The steadfast loving kindness and mercy God desires from us through the storms, through the plagues, is not for God's sake, but for the world's sake. So I can say all that. That's fine. That might even be an okay sermon for today. But what will be much better proclamation is if we go out from this place and learn what this means in the shape and function of our daily lives. If we go out these doors today and learn what it means for us that God desires mercy, not sacrifice, we will face our contemporary realities, and we will do so through the recognition that we are not now, nor have we ever been, alone, or had less than we need to do it. Amen.